Hey guys, welcome to Sunday Nights at Refuge, a community-focused Bible study that gathers weekly in our Common Ground Cafe. So grab a cup of coffee or tea and your Bible. By the way, you can connect with us on Instagram at Refuge Family. Now, our prayer is that Jesus would use this message to draw you closer to Him. So if you're ready, let's join tonight's study.
The book of Acts is all about the acts of the Holy Spirit and how God uses us to just be used in a mighty way, supernatural way. Today, chapter 16, there is 40 verses. And I believe there is going to be at least 16 applications that we're going to be looking at, or observations rather, with few applications in our lives. You see, to read the Bible is just such an amazing experience, because you learn, but also you change. You change in the inside out. I would like to preface, though I have 40 verses to cover with you as a way of survey, because my life is being overflowed with peace. Peace from the Lord. And I was brought to memory because of Holy Week how Jesus, after he rose from the grave and appeared in the midst of his disciples, meeting behind locked doors, imagine for a moment how they must have been stunned, shocked, overjoyed. But with great intentionality, Jesus chose the words that he used to greet them. Think with me, for all the things that he could have selected at that moment, he picked up what they needed most. Think about, what were the words of Jesus to the disciples after he raised from the dead and he appeared to them in a locked room? Was it joy? Or was it hope? Or love? While all of these certainly are very appropriate anytime for everyone, Jesus didn't touch any of these. He simply said over and over again, "Peace be with you." Would you mind repeating it with me? Peace be with you. One more time, everyone participating. Peace be with you. As you read through the book of Acts, particularly as we're going to look at the beginning of the second missionary journey, it's an amazing thing that though many situations happened, the peace of the Lord was always present. And that's what I believe is important for you and I. No matter what you're going through in the pandemic era, you can have the peace of the Lord. Can anybody say amen here? Well, all of the certainty that we can have in the Lord, sometimes we just don't realize why Jesus, after raising from the dead, he used the words, be with you. Each time that Jesus is recorded saying this, the writer ends the sentence with an exclamation point. Not only was Jesus intentional, but he was also emphatic. His words convey his great emphasis and urgency. I've been a pastor for 43 years. I've been around for a while. What this world needs is peace. What Christians need today is peace. Now, why peace? And why did Jesus use the particular phrase, "Peace be with you"? This world is very good at kind of mixing things up in a temporal moment with worldly happiness that make it appear as joyful. The world takes hope and makes it for wishful thinking. And also, the world has made love an everyday word used to describe a feeling that can change quickly. You know what I'm talking about. The world's offering of joy, hope, and love is fleeting, temporary, and dangerously unstable. But it can put on a good show in a short term. I got the promotion, joy. I think we can afford that house, hope. He likes spending time with me. I think I'm in love. However, jobs can be lost in an instant. Houses can be foreclosed on. And relationships can end. So really, what the world offers for a moment or two are false versions of joy, hope, and love. What we need is the real peace of the Lord. Pray with me, would you? Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Amen. The second missionary journey begins with chapter 16 of the book of Acts. And like I mentioned to you, 40 verses, 16 observations. Verse 1 and 2, Paul meets Timothy in Lystra. Then Timothy joins Paul and Silas, and their work continues. The Holy Spirit, verse 6 and 8, forbids Paul to go towards the province of Asia Minor. Verse 9 and 10, God directs Paul to the region of Macedonia. Verse 11 and 12, they arrive in Philippi. Verse 13 and 15, there is the conversion of that lady called Lydia. Verse 16 and 17, a demon-possessed slave girl follows Paul. Verse 18, Paul casts the demon out of the slave girl. Verse 19 and 24, Paul and Silas are arrested, beaten, and imprisoned for delivering the slave girl from the demonic possession. Verse 25 through 32, Paul and Silas sing in prison. Verse 26 through 29, the great earthquake brings some results. Verse 30 through 32, the conversion of a Philippi jailer. Verse 33 and 34, the Philippian jailer serves Paul and Silas. Verse 35 and 36, Paul and Silas return to the prison and are set free by the magistrates to the next day. Verse 37 and 39, Paul and Silas reveal the Roman citizenship. In verse 40, Paul and Silas leave Philippi on their own terms. You see, that was easy. You can go home tonight. You see, Caleb told me, we're looking at chapter 16, and you don't have to go through the whole thing. You can just choose a portion or observation, application, and that will be good. And I'm sure it is. It's the Word of God. But I believe that there is so much in reading the book of Acts, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and each of the incidents that you can come across with, because they have a teaching. In the observation of the scripture, you can find an application that will actually make it productive in your life. One of the things that I see as an application here is how to learn to be led by the Holy Spirit. The leading of the Holy Spirit, dear brothers and sisters, is so important in a Christian life. Many times we go by the feeling or the emotion or by the opportunity that may bring itself. People manipulations are at work all the time. And you can easily be manipulated by people, by them manipulating your emotions, and so forth and so on. You need to learn to be led by the Holy Spirit. If you agree, say amen. Don't look at me so serious, please. Another important lesson that we find here is obedience. Learning the value of obedience, because it's linked with the love of God. Many times we say we love God, we love God, we love God, but the way how we really show and demonstrate that we love God is by obeying Him. And it's not easy to obey Him. Listen, guys, it's not easy to obey our wives. Do something. Don't leave me alone here right now. But it is important, because I love my wife, I will obey. I will do what she says. What are you talking about? We like to go out to eat, and all the time she chooses where to go to eat. But then she says, no, you choose this time. All right, let's go to this place. Oh, no, no, let's not go there. Well, then you choose. No, 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 you choose, honey. Okay, honey bunny. Let's go and have this. Well, we had that last time. I didn't like it. At the end, whose will do we do? Our wife's will. It's just a joke. You're supposed to laugh. Only the girls laugh. Well, what's the matter with you guys? Sunday night people? You didn't have enough coffee or something? But listen, guys, the leading of the Holy Spirit, the area of obedience in our lives, obeying the Lord, obeying His word, His leading, and also understanding how important it is for us to know that God has a plan, and his plan goes beyond your expectations. God wants to do mighty and wonderful things in our lives and through our lives. So let's go through these 40 verses. Do you like to run? Jog? Have you ever done a marathon? Well, you can think of that as we go through these 40 verses right now. Acts chapter 16, verse 1 and 2, Paul meets Timothy in Lystra. Then he came to Derbe in Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by... Notice, it's interesting to see how the Lord works through people that have a mixed marriage, because as you realize here, they were supposed to have come to the place where this Timothy was a Jew, but was not circumcised. And all of a sudden, as you see, Paul had a message for him. And notice what happens. Paul came also to Derbe and Lystra, and a disciple was there named Timothy, and the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers in Lystra and Iconium, and Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him. And he took him and circumcised him because of the Jewish who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in their faith, and they increased in numbers daily. Paul was sensitive to the fact that the Jewish people were going to be reluctant of someone who's coming alongside and talk about principle, talk about a real Jew. They will go to a city and they will find, will look for a synagogue. When there were 10 or more people, they will build a synagogue. When there was not enough Jewish like that, then they will go into the river to read the scriptures. So this is an important way how Paul will go from city to city and start sharing the gospel with those people who had the knowledge of the scriptures. So this is how it happened. And also when they came to terms, is a Greek or someone who is not a Jew supposed to go and follow the law and circumcise and all that? If they were Greeks, if they were not Jews, no. But if they were Jews, then that was that's the reason why he did that, because Timothy had her mother who was a Jewish. So in verse 6, it says, and they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Notice the word forbidden. By whom? By the Holy Spirit. How would you know that unless you're connected with the Holy Spirit, right? And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia. But again, for second time, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. How cool is this? That you want to go here, you want to go there. You're just being prompted by something. But yet the Holy Spirit stops you. Says, no, no, go there. Don't go there. That's really cool. So verse 8 says, so passing by Mysia, they went down in Troas, and a vision? So connected. God speaks through visions. God speaks through dreams. God is speaking to you, to me. So a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and a man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, notice, immediately. Remember the word obedience? You see, instant obedience is what is required of us as Christians. Not those who vacillate. Those who, oh yeah, okay, yeah, I know. Well, later, you know, mañana, después. The Lord has spoken, we're supposed to obey. To delay our obedience is equal to disobedience. Think about that. And disobedience will stop the flowing of the Spirit and the communion of the Lord. It's sin. So notice what he says here. We sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. There's one purpose in their minds. They are going from city to city in this second missionary journey with the purpose of strengthening the churches that they went through before. But now Macedonia is a new place. Macedonia is a place where God wants them to go. And they're going to experience mighty, mighty works of God. The purpose, to preach the gospel. Everybody say it with me. The purpose, preach the gospel. What are you doing there? We're supposed to be preaching the gospel. Preach without words. Your acts of and your deeds of kindness. But also presenting the good news of Jesus Christ. So notice, when you preach the gospel, something happens. Conversion happens. Because conversion is not the work of us as men and women, but it's the work of the Holy Spirit. And when you're being led by the Holy Spirit, when you're being obedient to the Holy Spirit, when you are staying on focus, staying in point, you're supposed to preach the gospel, then conversion will take place. Doesn't the Bible says he will add to the church as many as should be saved? It's not just bringing people to church for the sake of coming and having a socialized moment, which is nice and it's great, but church is supposed to be a place of proclamation of the truth and also a place to worship God. Supposed to be a place where you come and you find what your heart is longing for. The word of God, prayer, fellowship, and witness. We all can witness to one another. I love the fact that they have this 10-minute break where we can chit-chat and we can kind of get to know each other and just kind of break through the barriers that separate us. You know, we had had enough with social distancing. We have had enough with covering your mouth and all of those things. And yet, how can we smile with your mouth covered like that? I learned to smile with my eyes. But do something for God's sake. I learned to embrace from afar. I mean, how do you express? God has made us stressful people. But all of that to preach the gospel, to point to the one and only that can satisfy our soul and have also deliver us from the power of darkness and bring us into the marvelous light of the kingdom of Jesus. Anybody excited about the Lord this evening? Anybody excited about the Lord Jesus here? So the preaching of the gospel brought in conversion in verse 11. So setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace and the following day of Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city in the district of Macedonia. They went to the big city to reach more people, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. So this is what is now the modern Turkey. So it was governed by the Roman Empire. So he says, we remain in this city. We, who is we? Who wrote the book of Acts? Luke. So Luke has joined him sometime, somewhere in these places of embarking. And now we see that Luke is there. He's writing, but he's also including himself. Says we now. Notice that. So we remain in this city some days. And on that Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. It's talking about Jewish people who gathered by the river because there was not a synagogue in the place. There were not enough Jews there. So one who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. And the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. Notice, it is God who opens our ears and opens our hearts to listen and to believe. That's why we pray. We pray before, we pray during, and we pray after. That the word of God may actively continue to work in our lives. The word of God that is alive and quick and that divides the soul and the spirit, that discerns the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. The word of God is powerful, guys. That's why as we go through it, we read the verses. There may be a verse here, a word here that kind of comes out of the pages and kind of knocks you in the head. Says, oh, wow, this is something. God is speaking to me. So it's not what I say. It's what the Bible says. And therefore, the message comes across and penetrates your heart. So it was on the Sabbath, verse 13. It was by the riverside where they were supposed to find a place where there was prayer. And they sat down and then they spoke to a woman. So as they were speaking, verse 14, one who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. And the Lord opened her heart. My prayer is that God will open your heart right now, wherever you are, wherever you may be at. Ask God, Lord, open my heart. To do what? To pay attention to what is being said, in this case by Paul, right now by reading his words. In verse 15, and after she was baptized, in her household as well, she urged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And she prevailed upon us. In other words, she was very insisting, come over to my house, come over to my house. Let me host you, let me feed you, let me take care of you. Let it be a center, a place, not by the riverside now. Let it be my house. And it is believed that her house was used as the first place to have the church of Philippi. But notice what happened in verse 14. And as we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. And she followed Paul and asked, crying out, these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation. And this she kept doing for many days. So just imagine for a moment how annoying it might be for everybody, but for them themselves. Hey, he's a Christian. Hey, he's a Christian. Hey, he's a Christian. You know, what's up with that person? Tell them. Well, they recognize that. This person is crying out for help. This is a demon-possessed slave girl. So notice verse 18. And this she kept doing for many days. And Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, not to the girl, but to the spirit that was possessing that girl. Notice that. And notice his words. He said, I command you in the name of Jesus. How many of you believe there is power in the name of Jesus? I ask again, how many of you, there is power in the name of Jesus? And when we pray, many times we kind of are too aloof, and sometimes we just pray, and at the end we say amen. But you know, your prayer, in order to reach heaven, the throne of grace, must be made in the name of Jesus. And it's not just a ritual or a motto or in the name, you know, but it is a power. There is a name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. Because he humbled himself to the point of the cross. And that's why he was exalted. The name of Jesus, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The one who made us with access before the God of heaven. So that's why. And there is power in the name of Jesus. So he said, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. Interesting. But when her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, it's all about money, right? They seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. And when they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, these men are Jews, and they are disturbing our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice. And the crowd joined in attacking them. You see, people would just do as others do. And then all of a sudden, you know what happens when there is revolt and all of that. So the magistrates thought that the garments off them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, you need to understand that Paul makes reference of this. He was beaten to the point where he was really, really hard. So they gave him many blows upon them. They threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Think for a moment, use your imagination. He was bleeding all over, okay? He was under a lot of pain, excruciating pain, okay? And then having received that order, he put them into the inner prison and notice, fastened their feet in the stocks, which means they stretched their legs and they stretched their arms in a way that the pain was to be even more intensified, if you know what I'm talking about. This is crucial for us to know. There is a cost to pay to preach the gospel, guys. It's not because it's all fun and games, but are you focusing whatever it takes? Why was he taken to prison? You'll see soon why and how things turn out, because God has always a purpose in everything. Remember, peace be unto you. Everybody say it with me. Yes. Even after being beaten and bleeding and having more pain on top of pain you're already having, but the peace of the Lord, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Verse 23 says that about midnight, it's been hours now, about midnight, Paul and Silas couldn't sleep. Is that what you had? They were kind of like groaning. Oh, man, it hurts. Oh, me, I can't sleep. Oh, have any Tylenol? About midnight, Paul and Silas, you got to get this, guys. They were praying. Help me read what he continues to say. And what else? What? They were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Hey, preaching the gospel with your testimony? Uh-huh. They knew what happened to them. And they are praying and singing hymns to God. That's a testimony. And suddenly, notice, something happened when you worship the Lord. Something happened when you lay your life as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service, the least that we can do for what he has done for us. There is something happened, verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open. Anybody here can say hallelujah? I mean, think about it. You're in prison, and the jail, and the doors are open wide. I remember a chorus they used to sing, the gates are open wide. But it happened right exactly as they were worshiping in the middle of the night in the burning oil. And immediately all the doors, not just theirs, all the doors, all the prisoners that were listening, what was happening? They saw the doors open, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. Chains fell to the ground. Now, is that a miracle or what? When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, hey, listen, he says, I'm dead. I'm like a dead man. He's going to die. He drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. Notice the compassion of Paul. In verse 28, by Paul cried with a loud voice. It's important to raise your voice sometimes, you know. You need to be heard. They're not paying attention. They're about to commit a very big mistake. Hey, don't do that. Have you ever saved someone from committing suicide? Have you ever stopped someone from going and getting high and knowing that they're going? Have you ever stopped somebody from trying to drive under the influence? Have you dragged him out of the car? This is what Paul is doing. He's raising his voice. He's speaking with authority. You have that authority in the Lord to save people, to snatch them out of the flaming fires of hell. People die every day, guys. And if it's not you, then who? If it's not now, then when? We have to take action. And Paul, verse 28, cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." Music to his ears, no doubt. Verse 29, and the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Don't you think the jailer heard the songs, the hymns, the praying? You see, you don't know who is watching you. You don't know who is observing you. He's really kind of just wanting to see what you're going to do now. How are you going to react at this situation? And that's where the character of Christ needs to be modeled before people. Because there is so much cynicism. There is so much hypocrisy. There is so much put up as a facade. People are looking for the real thing, guys. Wives are looking for the real man in their husbands. And husbands are looking for the real woman in their wives. Men of God, women of God, men and women of prayer, devoted to God, ready to proclaim the virtues of the one who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into his marvelous light. This is a beautiful scripture, guys. It's a beautiful picture of God's love and God's power and God's grace and God using Paul and Silas in the midst of their pain and their agony and their suffering for the gospel. How much are you suffering for the gospel today? What is it that is bothering you? Why is it that you get so obsessed, so uptight? Why are you so fasty about You think about it and you need to repent today. Do you hear what I said? You and I, we all need to repent today. Say, Lord, forgive me. Make me more like Jesus. In verse 29, and the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Have you ever had anybody come to you and say, hey, invite me to your church? Where do you go? Hey, read me the Bible. Do you have an extra one I can have? Why? Because they see what is coming out of you. But if nobody says that, or says, no, I won't go to your church, man, that's weird, because you're weird, you know? We are a reflection of who we are and who we're with. So this is really a convicting scripture. What must I do to be saved? I pray that God will allow us to experience that in your place of work, your family members, your neighbors, that they will see something that they don't see often, and they will come to you and say, hey, you're a Christian or something? How do they know? You haven't told them. They see the glow. They see the glow. They see the sparks in your eyes. They see the goodness, the kindness that comes out of a flowing, abundant life that you have in Jesus, because that's what Jesus came to do, to give us life and give it to us more abundantly. But we are far from it. It is time now to begin the right way. So in verse 31, and they said, believe in the Lord Jesus. Believe, believe, believe. And you will be saved. And you and your household. It's talking about the jailer's family because of the effect of what's going to happen. Many people use this verse really out of context, thinking that this is also referring to all of our family members. But it's referring to him in particular in this context. Now, you now know by what the comments I made, that if you walk in the light, if you are living testimony, your spouses, your loved ones, your family are more prompt to be sanctified and also open to hear the gospel. We can either draw him closer or we can draw him further by our conduct, by a way of living. But notice also what he says in the following verse. And he took them the same hour in the night and washed their wounds. What did he do? He served them. A Christian, a new believer, what does he want to do? I want to serve. I remember when I first got saved and I went to church. And I was so excited about everything. And I wanted to serve. And they said, well, in the bulletin, there is opportunities for serving. Oh, really? And there was a list of things for us to do. We heard that today in the announcement. There's opportunity for us to serve. The word ushers in Spanish, ushers. I said, what is ushers? And nobody knew what I was talking about, because I was just freshly from South America. You know, my English wasn't as bad as it is now. But the thing is that, you know, I was going around, ushers, ushers, needed ushers, ushers, me, ushers. I said, what is he talking about? Is he drunk or something? Ushers. Oh, yeah, yeah. And they sent me to the back room where there were a group of people praying. They were putting their pins as to where. And they look at me. I don't know how to speak English. So they sent me to the parking lot in summertime, 120 degrees over there in San Gabriel Valley. You think I said anything? I was excited. They're sweating and with tears in my eyes, directing traffic. I never did that in my life. Seeing so many cars coming and people lining up to go inside to hear the gospel. I heard there is a prayer going on at 6 in the morning. I heard my pastor say, we have prayer at 6 in the morning. He says, I'm there. To my surprise, all the people, 4 services on Sunday. Sunday morning, 6 o'clock, I found 1 and 2 people picking up cigarette butts. And they're waiting for the church to be open. And there were not more than 6-7 people for prayer. And those that were there, half of them were on staff. So therefore, they needed to be there. But my heart was so overwhelmed with joy that I was able to be there and serve God and serve him. Notice this jailer, he was serving this Paul and Silas by washing their feet and cleaning them up from the wounds. So verse 34, then he brought them up into his house. Come to my house. Let me serve you. Let me take you. Let's get a meal together. Let me buy you lunch and set food before them. And he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. The joy is so exuberant that all the family members kind of wow, you know, they're listening, they're hearing. I remember when my pastor went to my house in Peru. I was so excited. He was my pastor for the very first time. He went to Peru and making contact with people there. And he went to my house. And we gathered all the family and the neighbors. What a blessing. And then he shared the gospel in my house, all the way in Lima, Peru. God is at work, people. He did it for me. He can do it for you. He did it for the jailer. He had Paul and Silas in his house. How many of you would like to have Paul over for dinner? Come on, everybody. But you can have Pastor Bill and Pastor Allen for dinner. Listen, it's a heart full of gratitude, what he's talking about. And everybody rejoiced, the entire household. In verse 35, but when it was day, the magistrates sent the police, saying, let those men go. And the jailer reported these words to Paul, saying, the magistrates have sent to let you go. God will open the doors. God will set you free. Therefore, come on now and go in peace. Remember the word? Peace. Peace be unto you. Go in peace. Serve the Lord with peace. Not with contention. Not because of pressure. Serve the Lord with peace. Do whatever you do with peace in your heart. Go to work with peace. Have peace. Share of the peace of the Lord. Peace be with you. And in verse 37, but Paul said to them, they have beaten us publicly, uncondemned men who are Roman citizens, and have thrown us into prison. And do they now throw us out secretly? No. Hey, Paul was no easy person. You got to make his rights known. He said, no. Let them come themselves and take us out. There you go, Paul. And the police reported these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid. When they heard that they were Roman citizens. Hey, I am American, okay? The land of the free. I thought you were in Peru. Hey, you want more questions? I'm naturalized American citizen. God bless America. Come on, put your hands together if you're American, man. I'm American boy. I'm American boy. You remember The Rock, right? Or are you that young? Verse 39. My wife is laughing herself off. So they came and apologized to them, and they took them out and asked them to leave the city. So they went out of the prison and visited Lydia. And when they had seen the brothers, they encouraged them and departed. It wasn't so bad. 40 verses, 16 points, 3 applications. And God is going to bless you out of your socks tonight. If you would just say, Lord, here it is my life. Lead me, Lord. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. Speak, Lord. I only want to do what you want me to do. I only want to do everything that you want me to do. Obey the Lord by loving him more and more. The more you know him, the more you will love him. The more you love him, the more you want to obey him. And the more you obey him, you will follow him and serve him. And you will see miracles and signs and wonders. And God is going to blow your mind. I'm telling you guys, God is real. He's a miracle worker. He's an awesome God. He's a loving Savior, a sweet, sweet Lord. And this is the week to celebrate with all of our hearts. Easter is a time to celebrate what Jesus Christ came to do. He came to die for us, to cleanse us from all of our sins. If you are grateful tonight, please stand on your feet and let us pray and let us thank him for his love towards us. What a beautiful, noble converts, Lydia and the prison guard. Each of these two had their lives touched by Jesus in a very different ways. A strange and wonderful church in Philippi started. Lucas stayed behind for a while to take care of this young flock. And God has a purpose for you and for me as we have come
And as we continue to come and go through the book of Acts, and as we celebrate Easter week with all the activities and opportunities to serve, I'm just excited. Excited for Refuge Family, for the Calvary Chapel movement, for the legacy that Pastor Chuck Smith gave us. And I pray that not only our generation of the Jesus movement, but throughout the younger generations and above and beyond, preach the gospel, teaching the word of God, verse upon verse, precept upon precept, line upon line, and applying what the message is for us. Would you join me in just lifting up your hands to heaven? The Bible says, with hands lifted up, we worship Him. We adore Him. We give Him thanks for all that He's done. We raise our hands in saying, God, come, come to me. Holy Spirit, come, flow in me a fresh wind, fresh fire. The fire that will consume all the sin and all the things that need to be removed from us. Let the fire of God bring light, bring power, bring heat, bring love. And I just thank God for all the leaders here of the Sunday night. Thank God for Pastor Bill, Pastor Allen, Pastor Jeff, and all the staff. It's my family, you know. You are my family. And I'm thankful for you and for this week, for these wonderful sisters leading us in worship tonight, letting the Spirit just flow, letting the Lord just minister to us by the Spirit. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. I do sense the presence of the Lord right now. So just drink of it. Just soak in it. Let God flow in and through your life. So as we worship the Lord, I just want to say thank you again. The Lord bless you. Bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins. Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more.
No more.
Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life